Good morning. Dana Wilmer here with One Click Factory. And this morning we have Steve Mordeaux with Forceworks with us over Skype. Good morning, Steve. How are you doing?
Great, Dana. How are you?
Good, good, good. How's things in Florida these days?
Toasty warm out the window, I'm happy to say.
That's good. That's good. A little wet here up in Seattle.
Always is.
Yeah, it's not uncommon, is it? Steve, I know that that Forceworks is all in with the Microsoft Cloud, and I know that that was a fundamental business decision you made some time ago. I wonder if you can tell us what led to that decision.
You know, we used to be a Salesforce partner, so we've been all in on cloud for quite some time. Our transition really wasn't from some other methodology to cloud. It was really just a change in providers of who we were offering cloud through.
Okay. And how has business gone for you since that decision?
Oh, it's gone great. You know, we took one step back because we were a successful Salesforce practice, and we actually carried both products simultaneously for a little while, Salesforce.com and Dynamics CRM Online. And over time, I started to feel a little disingenuous about promoting Salesforce because I thought that Dynamics was a far superior product, and particularly at the price point. And we made a strategic decision to stop offering Salesforce. So our business took one step back from cutting off Salesforce, but we've since regained far more than where we were. We're year over year 120% in the last 3 years since we made that move. We couldn't be happier.
Wow, that's certainly a trajectory, a growth trajectory many, if not everyone, would envy as an owner.
I don't see an end in sight based on conversation with Microsoft about their plans around CRM Online. I think that this is really just the beginning. The growth has been tremendous, and I don't even think we've seen the real growth yet.
Yeah. Well, certainly with cloud demand growing at anywhere from 20% to 30% to 40%, depending on the sector, it's clear that the ride's not over yet. In fact, it's probably just beginning. Steve, I know you've made a decision to focus somewhat, at least, on verticals in your go-to-market approach. Can you tell us a little bit about what led to that decision?
You know, I'll tell you what. One of the reasons that we moved from Salesforce to Microsoft also was selfish. You know, we went from being a small fish in a big pond to being a big fish in a small pond. And I like that. I like that being one of the few that are available for whatever it might be. So vertical specialization for us was just a natural extension of that thought process. When people are looking in a particular vertical for services, I want to be one of the very few people that surfaces. And we made some conscious efforts. We've got two verticals that we're pursuing hard, one of which we actually fell backwards into, and that's legal services. When we first started offering Dynamics CRM, that led to offering Office 365, a natural, a complementary component. And Office 365, we gained some early traction with some law firms just by chance. And as we found ourselves doing a few of them, they started referring us. And before you know it, suddenly we're doing a lot of law firms. So we fell backwards into that vertical. And that's worked out well for us. The other vertical that we pursue is community banking. And that was a strategic vertical that we identified a particular marketplace where we felt there was a need, and Dynamics CRM would be able to serve that need well and catered an offering specifically for that vertical. And we've had a lot of uptake with that as well. So the vertical approach has made infinitely more sense than just, offering all services to all people. Customers, when they're looking for services, if they see their industry attached to your offering, they automatically feel like you understand their business and their language. And if you've done a few of them, you should. So you can have a more intelligent conversation.
And how has that focus on verticals, Steve, impacted things like your win rates, like your customer acquisition costs, your margins, those kinds of things, in terms of key business metrics?
You know, we've approached those verticals from a standpoint, we developed a methodology that we call a rapid start methodology, where we've taken in both the SharePoint space and the CRM Online space, taken a large, complex, powerful platform and really distilled it down to a simple model to get it up and running for customers quickly. Mm-hmm. And so those are somewhat profitable, but the goal of those is to get people using the software, using it quickly, using it productively at a certain level. We call it a rapid start. It's a start. And then immediately, and oftentimes before we've even concluded that deployment, they're coming back to us with more advanced and more sophisticated requirements, which is where, you know, a firm like ours really makes the money is when we get into deeper dives on customization and further enhancements. So it's been, we've got a lot of traction with Rapid Start, yep. Not a huge money maker, but we do make money because we've got it down to a real system to be able to almost push button deploy. And that's led to the kind of work that we've historically found ourselves doing, which is the heavy customization.
Right, building out deeper and richer functionality. And Steve, yep. how have you found that sort of second stage to be playing out in terms of things like, you know, the development of your own intellectual property, so that, you know, your initial experiences with those customers, you know, is more leverageable and perhaps at a higher margin to you in subsequent implementations?
You know, we've looked at, you know, the intellectual property discussion, kind of like managed services. It's one of those words that can mean different things to different people. And I think a lot of people think of intellectual property as, you know, we had a development team in a closet that built an application for a specific need. And then we offered that application on the marketplace for people to buy or subscribe to fulfill some need. Yeah. And for businesses like ours that are really, we're a custom development project shop, it's hard to break away people to go, you know, here, focus on developing this speculative application.
Yeah.
There are a lot of companies that do pursue that. They probably don't pursue the kind of work that we do. But we've looked at the recurring model, and the repeatable model for us is really more the deployment model of this Rapid Start, because that is a repeatable. We've taken a custom deployment of unknown duration, unknown cost, and unknown result, and reduced it down to a product that has a specific timeline, specific deliverables at a specific cost. And people are able to bite that very quickly. Yeah. And then, of course, they're leading to ongoing. So in a way, our recurring revenue is the fact that we have recurring projects for these customers as a result of that first piece.
Yeah.
We are looking, however, at taking, you know, we develop a Rapid Start model for a particular industry. So we have a Rapid Start for Dynamic CRM Online for community banks. It's a very specific deployment model for community banks. And we have toyed around with the idea of making that, as opposed to a one-time upfront cost deployment model, instead offering it as a subscription, because our costs have gotten so low to do that, that we certainly would collect more money over time. But we haven't quite pulled the trigger on that yet. And part of it is internal billing infrastructure for handling that kind of a business. We need to put that in place.
Now, Steve, I know that you were born in the cloud, as they say, right? And so it's always been, your business has always been cloud only. I wonder, you know, what final sort of counsel or advice might you have for existing partners who didn't start in the cloud and who are, you know, nonetheless very much still faced with the challenge of adapting their business to what is very, very clearly a demand for cloud solutions at the customer level these days. What advice or counsel would you have, given your background?
You know, I can empathize with the challenges that a managed services or infrastructure partner has with cloud. You know, they've historically made their living deploying hardware, which they've get compensated for, deploying and managing on-premise infrastructure, which they've been compensated well for and know how to do. And all of a sudden, here we've got this cloud, and all that revenue that they are used to suddenly can evaporate, and they need to figure out how to replace that revenue. And that's a challenging problem. Microsoft's had its challenges, and a lot of the partners have had their challenges grappling with it's not that they don't agree that that's where they're going to end up. They just can't figure out how to get from here to there without falling off the cliff in the meantime.
Yeah.
I think part of it is we do a form of managed services in that it's support agreements. Our managed, you know, the word managed services is another one that's been tossed around to mean all sorts of different things. And I think traditionally a lot of folks out there are thinking of managed services as we've got some agents running on your hardware and devices. We're managing that network and we're managing your machines. In our case, our managed services are around our applications. So we have support offerings for Dynamic CRM. Mm-hmm. We have support offerings for SharePoint. These are recurring revenue models. And they're very profitable. We have, In our particular model, we sell customers a block of hours in increments of 5 per month. And the more increments they buy, the lower the hourly rate is.
Right.
And historically, their utilization of that is about 50%. So we make the while it's not the largest revenue stream for us of that revenue, it's the most profitable because a lot of people, you know, look at support as insurance, and they're not utilizing it.
Yeah.
So there's definitely some pockets of opportunity to make some pretty good money on these pieces. You know, the other thing that I find in a lot of these managed services providers is their organization has been built up to support that model. And the cloud model is a little different. It's much more nimble. The typical employee in our firm that's involved in cloud services is significantly younger and is paid significantly less money. Because as a cloud partner, Microsoft literally, whether it's SharePoint or Dynamics 365, drops us as a partner and our customer on the 5-yard line.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to deal with any hardware. We don't have to deal with any infrastructure, deployment, tuning, performance. All of that is left up to Microsoft. We just sit down and start talking about business process. So a lot of partners have got a lot of staff that's making pretty good money for knowledge that they have gained over a long time that, for our particular firm, doesn't bring any value to us. So I'm sure there's partners out there that are looking at, well, and there's no way I can afford to have this guy at his salary doing this cloud stuff. So that's kind of holding some of them back too, unless they're prepared to just, you know, I'm going to wholesale, get rid of a bunch of people and bring on a bunch of younger, more comfortable with cloud and that I can train to know what they need to know. You know, one of the interesting things about cloud, and I know you and I have discussed this before, we've got such a rapid cadence of new, capabilities and versions that come along in cloud. And every time we get some new version, we get a whole raft of new capabilities mm-hmm. that as of that day, there is no expert in. We're not an expert in it. Nobody's an expert in it. They just hit our desk. At the same time, some features that we knew and understood are now deprecated.
Mm-hmm.
So there's this continuous moving of knowledge that needs to occur.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that if you're not looking out ahead at what's coming, then you could suddenly find yourself with a bunch of old knowledge. So the advantage to a partner and a small partner is if you're not an expert today, 6 months from now, you could be an expert in these cloud services as much as we or any other firm is. And if you maintain that, you know, you can catch up.
Right.
I think there's a lot of folks that think about some of these products and think, well, the guy's been doing it for 12 years. I could never catch up on the knowledge. Well, most of that knowledge over 12 years is no longer of any value. So we're really, the clock keeps getting reset. The table keeps getting re-leveled on the knowledge that you need to have in this space. You can almost jump into selling cloud services at any time and get up to speed in a short amount of time and be competent and capable in that space. Not so with, you know, managed services and on-premise infrastructure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, as you say, you know, the advancements in cloud technology really enable the delivery of incremental business value that wasn't possible even very short periods of time ago. And that only promises to expand and continue over time. So I think exactly as you say, there is a chance to keep up. And there's far more opportunities that can really drive business value and therefore represent solid businesses for those building practices around it. And moving away from the activities that are now, you know, frankly, less value add. So there's certainly opportunities to replace income that might be lost as a result of the cloud with, you know, with new offerings and with new services, one of which you mentioned, that really drive business value. And that's, you know, that's at the end of the day, of course, what the customer really wants to pay for.
You know, if you buy the concept, and I do, that in a very short period of time, most of our technology is going to be served on cloud platforms. And you look at on-premise infrastructure as it exists today as probably not being around too much longer. I know there are people out there that might want to go in denial on that. And they may be right. I may be wrong. But I think that that is going away and cloud is coming. So most small partners out there that are resisting to the move, I think at their core know they're going to need to eventually.
Yeah.
Well, there's an advantage right now for smaller partners and the mid-market partners to make the move sooner rather than later, because the really big partners out there are going to have an even longer time to get moved over.
Yeah.
But once they finally move over, it'll be a little more challenging for partners to establish a foothold. Right now is the time to get out front on cloud, establish a foothold in a marketplace or in a vertical that you're the go-to firm in that cloud space, so that when the sleeping giants finally make the move over, you know, you've carved out a comfortable spot for yourself. Otherwise, you know, you'll just get squashed like a bug. And, you know, I have studied all of your material in depth. I firmly agree and believe that the recurring revenue model is critical. We do not currently have what I would consider a true recurring revenue model, and we're going to get there. We're looking at ways to bite that apple. I know a lot of the managed services providers are working on managed services as a recurring revenue, mm-hmm. and I know that's done very well. We don't have that skill set to be able to offer that. So we've got to figure out within our skill set, how can we create recurring revenue model other than just support agreements?
Right.
And I think a lot of that's going to be taking some of this custom deployment work that is repeatable and converting it into a subscription. I can see, for example, for the banks that we're working with, that after we finish refining that a little more, that we might start offering that to banks on, pay so much a month instead of this upfront. So I 100% agreement with you that recurring revenue is where we've got to get our business model as well. And we're looking at ways to do that. It's definitely not something we're ignoring. We're thinking about every day, how do we get a business like ours onto that path? Because I think that definitely is a path to value. And customers are getting comfortable with that model. You know, this idea of paying a subscription for services, which was completely foreign not that long ago. And a lot of companies initially just looked at, well, I'm not renting software, I'll just buy it. That's fading into the background now, and the subscription model is becoming a little more ubiquitous. And so the challenge now isn't convincing a customer to pay you a monthly fee for something. It's to figure out exactly what you're going to offer that they would pay a fee for. But at least we've gotten past that hurdle of them not really being interested in paying a monthly fee for these services. They're ready to do it now.
They certainly are. Steve, fascinating talking with you, as always. Really appreciate your insights and your perspectives. I know it's going to be providing, you know, great guidance to other partners out there. So thank you very much for your time, and all the best in your future endeavors.
Thank you, Dana. We'll see you soon.
You bet. Take care, Steve. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.